Daf is Daf Ayin Aleph. So we got four lines down. The Gemara quoted a discussion about the Behema being Bechlal Chai and Chai being Bechlal Behema. So Gemara explains the different circumstances. Four lines down again. Chai Bechlal Behema Minol. And how do we know that a Chai is included whenever the word of Behema is used in the Torah? How do we know that also implies a Chai? Minol. And Gemara says, Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Zos haBehema asher tochlu shor sech savim vigomer. Ayil tzvi v'yachmor. So it lists a whole number of animals after introducing us to the word behema. On the list, the shor sech savim, those are behemos. Those are domesticated animals, an ox, a sheep, and so on. But then it also lists an ayil tzvi v'yachmor, a ram, a deer, which are considered chayos. So you see that chayos are considered bechlal behema. Haketad, it must be because chaya is bechlal behema. So what's the... So that's one direction. How do we know that behema is bechlal chaya? How do you know when the word chaya is used, that behema is bechlal, the behema, the domesticated animal, is implied in the word chaya? Minolam, what's the source for that? The pasuk says, "Dechsiv zos hachaya shetochlu mikol behema." So first the pasuk begins with the chaya, then it goes to transition to the word behema, asher al haaretz kol mafreses parsa. Okay, and how could it be? Must be again that behema is bechlal chaya. When you say the word chaya, it includes behema, and when you say the word behema, it implies the word chaya. It's all the same. Not the same, but they're both all-inclusive. There are really no nafkaminas. There are nafkaminas, but most times in the psukim, chaya and behema are equal. So Gemara says, chaya tahora bechlal behema tahora. What does that mean when the brayis above had said that a chaya tahora is implied in the world, the word or the concept, the category of behema tahora? L'simanim, that we only know that this simanim, what makes a kosher animal, a kosher behema, if it chews its cud, and it's the parsas, the split hooves. So even though it only says it by behema tahora, we learn that same din to a chaya tahora as well. How do you know what's the din, rather, of chaya tameya being bechlal behema tameya? What's an afkamina that behema tameya is a chaya tameya as well? So Gemara says, laharba, when it comes to crossbreeding, there's an iser behemtecha, lo sarbiya kalayim, when it comes to that the animal, two animals, two different animals, you shouldn't crossbreed them, even though the pasuk says behemtecha, it also implies that chaya as well is bechlal that same iser. So then the Gemara says, behema tmeya bechlal tmeya. So what's the relevance of behema tmeya being implied by the word chaya tmeya? So the Gemara says, l'chadir Rebbe. Remember yesterday we had the Gemara had said there was a pasuk, the Gemara mentioned, that pasuk, well, there's a drasha of Rebbe, which we're going to learn today. So the pasuk we had yesterday was, it's not inside the Gemara here, but the pasuk reads, O nefesh asher tiga bechol davar tameh, the person touches something tameh, O benivlas chaya tameh, O benivlas behema tameh, the gomer, and the pasuk goes on to say, such a person brings a carbon chatas. So the Gemara doesn't, the pasuk doesn't tell us when does he give a chatas. For a person becoming tameh, you don't bring a chatas for becoming tameh. When you're tameh, you have to be tahor. If a person's tameh and does an iser while being tameh, that's when a person brings a chatas. But the pasuk doesn't tell us when exactly, what's the iser he's involved in. So the Gemara says, even though it says in the pasuk, it says the word chaya. So Rebbe Omer Ekra ni chaya. Once the pasuk says benivlas chaya tameya, so I would have understood that behema tameya is included in that as well. So how can the pasuk has to also say behema lama nemer? Why does it say behema unnecessarily? Once it says it's touching a nivlas chaya tameya, mimela we know a nivlas behema tameya is included. So why does the pasuk say that unnecessarily? Nemra kam behema tameya, because it says behema tameya here in this context. And nemra lahal in a different context, with a person who's tameh and eats kudshim, he's chayv kares, it says behema tameya as well. The pasuk there reads, nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh betumas adam, a person touches something and makes a man adam tameh rather, o behema tameya, o b'chol sheketz tameh, and he eats basar zevech shlomim ashil Hashem, benichris nefesh, he gets kares for eating behema tameya. So we see from there, the Gemara says, what's the connection? Malahalan tumas kodesh, just like there in that context, where a person, when he eats a behema, he becomes tamei, and he eats kudshim rather, he eats chayv kares when it's done b'mezid. Afkan, so to hear this context, the pasuk, we're not sure what the context is, but tumas kodesh. When a person's tamei, and he brings a chatas, when is that? When he accidentally eats kudshim while being in the state of Tumah. That's the connection between these, the extra word behema. But we see from Rebbe, the word behema in the pasuk was unnecessary because it says chaya, and we know chaya betameya implies a behema tameya. So we learn from the drasha behema tameya, an extra word, to learn a gzeya shava, just like the context of one place behema tameya is referring to when eating kachim, albeit bemazed. So to hear this pasuk is the context of, we learn from the gzeya shava, it's also a context of eating kachim betamin. So that's Rebbe's drasha from this pasuk. So then the Gemara wants to know, what do we learn from the words, from the concept that behema tahora is bechlal chaya tahora? Whenever the word chaya tahora is used, it also implies a behema tahora, li yitzir. The nafkamis with regarding yitzir. What's yitzira? It says by chaya, by yetzir Hashem alakim es min hadama, kol chayas hasada. All chayos were created from the earth, and the word yitzir is used. So what's the relevance of yitzir being used by a chaya, by a wild animal? So the Gemara Nida tells us, the Mishnah Nida tells us, Ditznan hamapelas, a woman who gives who has a stillborn, and min behema, it looks like an animal, or chaya of of behema, chaya of any of these animals, bein tamei and bein tahorim, whether it looks like a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, im zachar, if it's a male of that type of animal, teshev zlazachar, she has to sit tumas leda of a giving birth to a boy. The different halachas, Parshas Tazria tells us, she gives birth to a boy, she's tamei for 7 days, and then she's tahor, even if she seeds dam for 33 days. If a woman gives birth to a nekeva, she's tamei for twice, 2 weeks, and then she's tahor for a double, for 66 days, even if she sees dam, she's tahor as well. So there are halachas of tumas yoledes versus zachar versus nekeva. So if that creature that she gives birth to is a male of that creature, so she sits tumas zachar. Vim nekeva, if it's a female that's born to her, teshev lenekeva, she sits the 14 and 66 days of a tumas leda. Anyo day, if she doesn't know the gender of the creature that's born, so teshev lezacha, she has to sit lezacha ulenekeva, she has to be machmer in both ends, she has to really be tamei for 14 days, but she only gets 33 minus 7, really 26 days of tahara. You have to do all the chumras of both zacha and nekeva. That's all divrei Rebbe Meir. Chachamim omrim, the chacham in that mishnah say, kol she'ena mitzures adam ein ovlad. No, unless that child, that stillborn, looks like a human, it's not going to create too much later. But within Shitas Rebbe Meir, however, Rebbe Meir says, how come a chaya in a behema? Because a lashon yitzira is used. Yitzira by a chaya is used. Anything that she gives birth to. So even though yitzira is only mentioned by a chaya, we could apply it to a behema as well. That's the relevance of a, every time it says a chaya, it also implies a behema. So therefore, according to Rebbe Meir, again, if a woman were to give a birth to a creature that looks like a behema or a chaya, it would be considered yitzira, it would be considered a leda, and she'd have to keep all the halachas of tumas leda. The Gemara now says right before the Mishnah. The Gemara says, we said earlier, back to yesterday's daf, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yosi Aglili and the Chachamim about if an uber of a behema tameh versus a behema Torah, whether it's tameh. The Mishnah, just to remind ourselves, again, the Mishnah said if an animal, a fetus, had given had died, besoch me'eha, and the roa, the shepherd, sticks its hand inside, whether that animal is a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal, the roa is tahor, because it's tumah balua. The tumah, the dead behemah, is inside another animal. It's not going to affect me. Rabbi Yossi says it depends. If it's a behemah tameh, a non-kosher animal, it will metame me. But if it's a kosher animal, it will not metame me. And we had a drasha from Rabbi Yossi, had based on the pasuk of chol holecha kapav, and then the pasuk said nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh nilas chaya tameh. That pasuk we mentioned before about Rebbe, the drasha of, again, nefesh kisiga b'chol tameh o b'nilas chaya tameh o b'nilas behemah tameh, that long pasuk. So the Gemara said on yesterday's daf that Rabbi Yosigli learned that to mean that was referring to an uber tamea that was inside a behema tamea. That's matami. That was his source. If a roa were to touch an uber of a dead uber inside an non-kosher animal, he's tame. So the Gemara wants to know now, what did Rabbanan do with that pasuk that served as the source for Rabbi Yosigli? So the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbanan hai kralamali. What did he learn from the pasuk? Kula l'chadrebihu d'asa. They learn that drasha like we saw Rebbe above here on this very daf. The Rebbe learned from this drasha that's referring to, remember, the case of Achilles Kachim Betame, just like that case, Achilles Kachim Betame, b'mezid karis. So to here's Achilles Kachim Betame, it's going to be b'shogeg, and once chayv, a karban ola v'yorit. Okay, the new Mishnah tells us as follows. Ha'isha shemes vlada b'soch me'ha. A woman, now we're talking about a human, so a woman who loses her fetus dies in utero. So then pashta chaya is yada, and the midwife sticks her hand inside. V'nogaba ha'chaya, and the chaya, this midwife touches the dead fetus inside. Timea, she's going to be tamei tumas shiva. The chaya is going to be tamei for 7 days. Tumas mace. She's tamei 7 days. The isha, however, the woman carrying the child, the fetus that's dead now, is actually tahora ad sheyatz havlat. So now the mother carrying is tahor, but the chaya who sticks her hand inside and touches the dead vlad will be tamei. So the Gemara explains. Amar Rabba. Rabba says kishem shetuma belua eino metama. Kach tara blua eino metame. So just like a tame that's inside is not going to metame someone else, right? The woman who's carrying a dead fetus now. So since it's tuma blua, the tuma is absorbed, it's inside somewhere, it's not going to make her tame. So too, if there was something that was tahor inside a blua, so that won't become tame from something outside. What does that mean? So let's say a woman has a fetus inside, an uber inside, or the Gemara says a tabas, right. If there's a ring inside her body, and she walks into a place where there's a dead body. So there's an ohel mace, tumas ohel. That tumah is not going to affect that which is inside her body. So just like, again, the tumah doesn't leave the body, so too the tumah doesn't go inside the body when there's something tahor inside. So again, the klal is, kishem shetuma belua, eino metame, kach tara belua, eino metame. That which is tahor inside doesn't become tame either. So how do we know these rules? So the Gemara says, tuma belua minol, and how do we know? It says, v'ha'ocha minivlasa yichabes bigadav. A person eats a nevela. The halacha is he needs to wash his clothing. His clothing are tamir. That's the pasuk tells us that. So then the Gemara says, so milaskidon, is it not talking about a case perhaps? Right, the person who eats nevela, so then after he eats nevela, he has to go to the mikvah, and then he goes, he's tahor now. So now the Gemara is talking about, the pasuk is describing any time of the day this could happen. He eats nevela, he goes to the mikvah. So milaskinan cannot be also a case de achel samich l'shkiasachama. Let's say the guy ate mamish before shkiasachama. So he ate nevela 5 minutes before shkia. He goes to the mikvah, and now with sunset he becomes tahor. Now it's after shkia, but the nevela is still in his body. So shouldn't that nevela that's in his body, shouldn't that be metame him again? I mean, he shouldn't be able to go to the mikvah until everything's been digested. So how come that works like that? So the Gemara must be then the Kamarachman of Tahor. And the Torah says he's Tahor nonetheless. It must therefore be that once something is Balua, it can't be Matame person anymore. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Dilma Shiny Hasa, maybe that case of Nevela is different to Lochazi Lager. That's not fit for a Ger. The Pasuk tells us that which is Nevela, you give to a Ger. That it's only a shame nevela if it's roi to give to a ger. But if it's not roi to give to a ger, it's inedible. No one would eat it. It doesn't have a shame nevela anymore, and it's not metame. So that's why when I eat nevela, it's no longer tame. Not because it's tuma balua, because it's inedible anymore. No ger would eat my nevela that I ate anymore, and therefore it's no chalo shame nevela. Nothing to do with tuma balua. So Gemara says no. Hanichal Rabbi Yochanan, this makes sense according to Rabbi Yochanan. Damer achazu v'achazu ad lekelav shapir. Rabbi Yochanan says this case or that case. We'll see what those cases are in just a second. But it's not based on when it's edible for a ger or not for a ger. It's whether it's edible for a dog. And a dog would eat something that I eat. If I eat something, I eat nevela, and I were to vomit it up, a dog would eat that food, and therefore it still has a chalos shame nevela. So then, if I eat nevela and I go to the mikvah, how come I'm still tahor? Isn't it tuma balua? It must be because tuma balua is not mitame. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, this pasuk does serve as a raya that tuma balua is not mitame. Because again, the food itself, the etzem of the food, as long as a dog would eat it, it has a chalos shem nevela. So why am I tahor? If I ate nevela and it's inside of me, even though I went to the mikvah, shouldn't it make me tame while it's still inside of me? It's still roi l'achil es kelev. And Gemara says, no, that's what the pasuk tells us, that tuma balua is not mitame a person. That all makes sense only according to Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara. Ela labar pada, damar tuma chamura lager, tuma kala ala kelev. So if it comes to tuma chamura, when it comes to something being mitame on a higher level, like tumas mace, which is mitame in adam as well, So then the halacha is has to be roi for a ger, but if it's not roi to for a ger to eat, no ger would eat it. So then it's no longer tumah mechamur. It doesn't create tumah chamur. It can't be metame a person. But in terms of tumah kala, to be metame lighter things like food and drink, it's metame so long as it's edible for a dog. So then it's going to be metame. But for our purpose, we're talking about nevelas being metame meat. So the moment I eat something, it's in my mouth, no ger, forget the kelev, according to Parpad, it's about the ger. No ger would eat a nevela that I ate already once before. Which means the reason why the nevela that's inside me is not metame me is because no ger would eat it. There's no chalo shem nevela, nothing to do at all with tumah balua. As the Gemara says, mishum de lo chazi lo ger hu. Because it's not right for ger, that's why the nevela inside me is not metame me and nothing to do with tumah balua. Gemara answers no. Nihi de lo chazi befanav. Granted, no ger would eat it if I were to vomit up that nevela. They wouldn't touch that nevela in their life. But shelo befanav michse chazilei. If let's say they didn't see it, I vomited it up, I washed it clean, and they had no idea it was once in my mouth, they would eat it. It's roi if had they not seen it, and therefore it should be matami me. And the only reason why it's not matami me is not because it's not roi for ger, because it is roi for ger. You could create a situation where ger would eat it. It must therefore be, why is it not metame me when it's inside? Because tuma balua eino metama. Now, based on this whole sugi here, they discuss a very halachal maisa for an Ashes Kohen. An Ashes Kohen who's a muberis, she's pregnant. Is she allowed to walk into a tumas ohel? We view that she might be carrying a boy in there. A girl is allowed to become tame. An Ashes Kohen, a Kohenis can be tame. It's one of the three Yisurim that do not apply to women. Women, Ashes Kohen is allowed to become tame, even though the man cannot. A woman's allowed to cut her peah, she could cut her beard. Those are three Yisurim that don't apply to women. But what about the fetus that she's carrying? There's an Uber inside there. Shouldn't there be a chashash that there's a boy inside there and that should be tame? So they get into this whole discussion that which is inside tuma, there is no chashash because it's not, we said tuma bulua or even tahora bulua is not going to be tame from their surroundings and would be allowed to. But still, nonetheless, some posts can say a woman, Ashes Kohen, shouldn't go out because perhaps she might give birth at that very moment. And because of the chashash, if she's in the ninth month, she's close to the end of term, she should not go to a base kvaros because of that. There are those who practice, many are machmir, they heard such a minog, that women, even a Yisrael, Ashes Yisrael, Ashes Levi, don't go to any type of base kvaros at all. And there's no real basis in halacha for this, because if Ashes Kohen, there's room to be machmir. By Ashes Yisrael and Ashes Levi, there's no such source in halacha, but nonetheless, there's such a practice that they have, such a minog, and I get the shayla often. I tell them that there's such an inin not to go. It's a minog that's been brought down by Nashim Sitkanios, and if one wants to, they can be machmir, but if it's a situation where you don't want to tell anybody yet, you want to still be private about it, usually young parents, the first time, they don't want to share the news yet, or if they're going to insult someone from not being there, so then there's certainly what to work with, because it's not really halacha. What's the basis of such a minog that women who are pregnant shouldn't go to a beis kvaros? It's based on a mission in Maseches Para that talks about they would make sure that children who would be involved with helping the Para Aduma when they're older, they want children who were never tamei in their life. So they have these special precautions they did, that they would like walk, they would be carried on back of oxen with like a big board. And they'd sit on top of that ox, this way no tumah would ever penetrate them. So their entire life they would never be involved in tumah. Those are the types of kids you want to be involved in the Para Aduma. So here as well, perhaps even when they were in an Uber, the mothers made sure not to bring them in the presence of a basic kvaros. Even though the mice, they can't become tameh because they're balua, that might be such a source of the practice. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, last few lines of the Amud here, Ashkechan tuma, we find the tuma. Balua, the tuma balua. Tahora Balua Minalan. So we have a source now that Nevela, which is Tuma Balua, that's not going to be Matame Mi. But what's the source of Tahora Balua? That which is Tahor, that's inside something, won't become Tame. Gemara says that Kalva Chomer. It's a Kalva Chomer. What's the Kalva Chomer? Makli Cheres, a earthenware pot. Hamukaf Tmid Tame Psil, that's sealed on top well. Sheina Matzial Tuma Shibasocha. If there's something inside of it, it's not milatame, it's not going to protect it. So if you have an item, food, in a kli cheres that's sealed properly, and you place it into a room of a tumas mace, that tumas mace is going to go penetrate right through the klicheres. So again, klicheres hamukaf tmid psil p'tamim psil she'ena matzil al tumas shebesocho milatame. Damar Mars, it says tuma rututa bokas ve'ola adra kia, and the tuma penetrates through everything up to shemayim. So yet matzil tahora shebesocho milatame. I'm sorry, other way around. If there's tameh inside the klicheres, that tuma will penetrate right through. Tuma balua doesn't apply to klicheres. Tuma balua is metameh by klicheres. However, the klicheres is matzil. Last line of the Gemara of the Amud. It's matzil tahora shibasocho milatameh. If there's something tahor inside, the klicheres will protect it. So we see that there is a concept of tahora balua by klicheres, but we don't hold of tuma balua. So then, if that's the case, so Adam, going on to Tamar Beitna, Adam, Shematzi al Tuma Shibasocho, Milatame, if a man, a human, a woman, is able to be protected from the Tuma that's inside of her, Einodin Shematzi al Torah Shibasocho, Milatame, is it not a Kavachomer that she's also able to protect that which is Tahor inside her? Again, by Klicheres we have that the Klicheres, the Tuma, goes right through. There is no Tuma Blua by Klicheres, but there is Tahor Blua. So then by Adam, if there's Tuma Balua, certainly there should be Tahora Balua as well. And the Gemara says no, because Mala Klicheres Shekein Ein Matama Migavo. Are you going to say by Klicheres, if you touch a Klicheres, something Tame touches the outside of a Klicheres, it's not Matame that which is inside. Tomer Ba'adam Shematame Migavo. Would you apply the same leniency to man, a human, which is Matame, through touching it? So the Gemara says, Atu Anu Migavo Kamrinan. Are we concerned with touching the outside of the klicheres or not? Mitochel kamina. We're talking about that which is inside. We're comparing it tochel to tochel. Forget gabo. Gabo is a whole other category. The other abba klicheres chamer she came mitame me'aviro. Now, once we're talking about the category of tochel, klicheres is more machmir. That klicheres is able to mitame something that's not only inside the klicheres, but let's say I've got tame a sheretz inside the klicheres. And there's something in the airspace above, that tum is able to penetrate up to the avir as well. So there's a certain chumra when it comes to the tocho of a klicheres. And yet, still, the klicheres is able to protect tohora if it's sealed inside. So then certainly, by Adam, which doesn't have a concept of being metami, that which is above him, so then certainly it's able to protect that which is tohora below. That's the source. And now the Gemara says, Ashkechan Balua Dilamala. So we find something that was Balua that went through the peh, through the top of the mouth, that there's a concept of Tuma Balua and Tahor Balua. What Balua Dilamata may not know. And what if it came in the backside, the opposite end of the person into the body? So what would that about that? Would that be considered a Dina Balua as well and have all the Dinim? So Gemara says, Kavachomer, Malimala She'ena Osa Equal Matzil. That food went in, going in the mouth, that doesn't create any digestion. It only once it gets to the bottom does it create digestion. But inside the top, it doesn't digest anything, and yet it's still matzil, it still has a din of a tuma balua and tahor balua. So the mat, if it goes to the mat, to the bottom of a person, sh'oso equal, and that's where the digestion takes place, and eino din, so certainly it's going to be more broken down. Eino din, is it not a kal v'chomer shematzil? So is it not obvious that that should protect the tuma balua and the tahor balua as well? And Gemara says, no, klum osa iko lamata elai de mala. It doesn't, if a person takes something in the back end, it doesn't digest at all. It only digests if it goes to the top. So only if it's lamala is any digestion taking place. So therefore, there shouldn't be any tuma balua halachas if it goes to the mata. The Gemara says, afil hachi, still nonetheless, iko de lamata rav, even though it only goes through the digestive tract when it goes through the mouth, still, the most of the digestion takes place on the mata when it gets towards the bottom of the body. And therefore, the halach is, if it is Tuma Balua, Lemata, it would in fact be the halachas of Tuma Balua and Tahora Balua. So if you look at Rashi for a second, Elai de Mala, Elai de Mala, that the only time the bottom digests is only when it goes to the mouth, the top. The im lo yikanes derech hapeh, if the food doesn't enter into the mouth, lo yisakel b'ma'ayim li'olma, it will never ever digest. So now this is interesting because they have a very halach lemaisa based on this Rashi, which may not be correct how we understand science. There's a shayla on Yom Kippur, if a person can't fast well, or even not, a regular person, without to give them an IV. So the Chuvas Achiyaz and others learn from this Rashi and the Marsham as well that the only time something digests if it goes through the mouth, but if it goes through the veins or any other type of system in the body, it doesn't digest at all, and that wouldn't be considered achila. And therefore, they permitted a situation of people taking IVs. And those who can't fast well, various illnesses or whatever conditions that they have, there are heterim on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is much easier to understand, of course, but there are heterim to take IVs on Yom Kippur based on the Rashi is one of the sources for this this concept. And discuss also, a person, let's say, needs a blood transfusion of some sort. So are you allowed to take blood of a person who ate non-kosher food? Is that a way of putting non-kosher food into your system? So they talk about this as well, that just like food, it only digests through the mouth, it doesn't digest any other area, you would be able to take blood from someone who's not Jewish, not religious. Others say, no, blood works different than nutrition. Blood gets mixed up regardless of how it gets into your body. It gets into the vein, the blood gets into your vein. This is only a discussion about food and nutrition, but blood would not necessarily be permitted, and you have to raise a shaila whether you can take a blood transfusion from someone who doesn't keep kosher. Now, of course, if there's a sakana, that's not a shaila to speak of. They're talking about a person who's healthy or has other options to choose blood, but this is, again, this is the source of such a discussion. Okay, the Gemara now says, around 10 lines down, last one in the line, it says, Ashkechan balua d'adam. We find the concept of a balua when it applies to a human. Balua de behema minel. And what about the lachas of an animal that absorbs something? Is it going to have the same din? And the Gemara says, Kal v'chomer. Ma adam shemetami mechaim matzil bibalua. And a person, rather, is tamei. Even when he's alive, he can become tamei. And he's matzil. He protects that which is balua inside of him. A behema she'ena matama mechaim. An animal is not tamei until it's dead. But when it's alive, an animal can never become tamei, so there's less tumah by an animal, so then certainly, einodin shetatzim bavalua. Certainly he should also have the halachas of protecting that which is inside him through tumah balua or a tahor balua. Gemara says no. There's a difference because mala adam, shekein tzarech shihia bebeis hamanuga, tomer bebehema she'ena tzricha shia bebeis hamanuga. There's a difference. Even though behema is not tummy when it's alive, there are other chumras of tumah by behema. When a human were to walk into a house that's a beis hamanuga that has teras on the house, so the only time we'll see the details in just a second, the only time tumah is created on him and that which he's holding or wearing is only if he waits. He has to wait there a period of time. It doesn't come immediately. But an animal that walks into a beis hamanuga, he immediately becomes tumah. So you see that there are chumras by behema that don't exist by an adam. So we don't necessarily apply the hatsala of tumah and the Torah balua. Gemara says, "The ma'ay hilchasa." What does it mean, the Indian of shihia in a beis hamanuga, or not needing shihia in beis hamanuga? The ma'ay hilchasa says the Gemara, "Lekelim she'agabe adam." Not like a kelim agabe adam. When it refers to the kelim that's on a person that he's carrying and that he's wearing, so nami lo bai. He doesn't need shi'ah either. Adam doesn't require shi'ah, just like a baby doesn't require shi'ah. That's not. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Nigayim, "Hanichnas lebeis hamenuga v'kelim aksefa." A person walks into a house of menuga v'tzaras, and he's carrying kelim on his shoulders. V'sandala v'tabosa b'yadav. He's holding his sandals. He's holding his rings. Hu v'hein t'men miyad. He and that which he carries is all tamei immediately, just like a behemoth. There are no differences at all. Haya, the one difference is, but we're not concerned with this, but there is a difference. Haya lavush kelim v'sandala b'ragla v'tabosa b'elspo. If he is wearing kelim, if he is wearing shoes, he is wearing rings. There's a rye that men can wear rings right here. I'm not saying one should or shouldn't, but this is a source of a tabosa b'elspo. He's wearing a ring on his finger. He's wearing clothing. Then who's tami miyad? He's tami immediately. V'hein tahorin ad sheyisha b'chdeach li'es pras. Pas chitim v'lo pas saorim meis of ochel b'liftam. So that which he wears, that's when he needs shehiyah, until the amount of time it takes to eat a piece of bread, a piece of wheat bread, not a piece of barley bread. But we see from here that shehiyah only applies to that which he wears, but that which he carries, he becomes immediately tamei along with the kelim, just like a behema, and all the kelim on the behema become the tamei miyah. There is no difference. And therefore, we would apply the Kal v'chomer that just like an adam, whose tamei mechayim is matzil on blua, so to behema, which is not metame mechayim, should certainly be matzil on that which is blua. Gemara now says, Amar Rava, Rava says, last eight lines of the Amadir, Tervayu, Tinei. Both these concepts are listed in the Mishnah. Tuma Balua, Tanina, and Tahora Balua, Tanina. Meaning we don't need a second din here. We already know from two Mishnayos that Tuma Balua is not Metame, and Tahora Balua is not Metame either. Tuma Balua, the Tanana says the Mishnah, this Mishnah is found in Mikvaos. It says, Bala Tabas Temea, Tovel Ochel, Bishumoso. A person swallows a tabas, a ring that's tamei. He could go to the mikvah, and he's fine. Even though there's a ring that's tumah inside of him, he went to the mikvah, it's tumah balua, and he can eat the truma. Hikia, if he vomits it up, tameya, that item, that tabas, is still tameh, because it never went to the mikvah, because when it went to the mikvah, it was balua, it didn't go through the mikvah, so that tabas remains tameh. But tameh, so as it comes out, he becomes tameh by touching the ring, and he has to go to the mikvah yet a second time. But we see from here, so long as the tabas tameh is balua, it doesn't affect anything. Tahor balua is also tanina. We learn in the Mishnah. This Mishnah appears also in Mikvaos. The Tanan bala tabas tahor. If you swallow a tahor ring and nichnas la'ol mace, you walk into a room of a mace and there's tumas all over the place. V'hiza v'shina v'tavel. He goes to he himself. He's tameh, so he sprinkles on top of him the paraduma, the mechatas. He goes to the mikvah, and then after becoming tahor, v'ka, and then he vomits up this tabas Torah, harehi kimosh ha'yisa. Nothing was affected, because even though he was in the tumas ohel, the tabas that was tahor remained inside of him and doesn't become tameh. So this is tahor bulu, both in the Torah and in the Mishnah. So why do we have to teach a separate din here? The Gemara says no. Kikama Rabbu, when Rabbu was teaching a chiddushir, but Tuma Balua and Tor Balua, he was talking about a situation of a kigon shabalash shtei tabalas, where a person swallows two rings, achas tameh, achas torah, one was tameh, one was tahor. They teach me the din, delo mitameh la tameh the torah, that the tameh ring doesn't mitameh the tahor ring. So the Gemara says, we'll just do a little bit here. The piece goes deep into the daf, but just touch upon it a little bit. V'ha uber v'chaya, isn't the case of the uber on the previous Mishnah was telling us there's a dead uber, that's tameh, and the chaya who's tahor, the midwife who's tahor, isn't that a case of kishtei tabalas dami, that inside, they're both balu, inside the mother, one item's tameh, one item's tahor, and yet the Mishnah says, v'kame tameh la uber l'chaya. Didn't we just say that Rabba's teaching us that a ring that's tahor and a ring that's tameh, that are both balua, touching each other, it can't transfer tumah from the tabas tameya to the tabas Torah. But our Mishnah says that the uber that's mace inside is metameh the chaya, and that's alive inside the stomach of the mother. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabba says, shiny uber hol v'sofalatzes. That's different, because since the uber is going to come out eventually, we don't view this as a classic case of balua. Gemara says, Amar Rava, uber sofalates, tabas ain't sofalates. So you're telling me the uber is meant to come out eventually, but the ring remained inside forever? Of course not. Eventually the ring's going to come out as well. That's also sofalates. So Gemara says, El Amar Rava, Rava says, Abipumvadisai, Yadu time with the Hamil, so they know the reason for this. I guess we'll stop here and we'll figure it out tomorrow. Okay. Good Chodesh.